Firebird is almost an hour long, and you don't hear the ballet so often because people in the concert hall perform the orchestral suites more often.
I'm speaking with Ludovic Morlo. He's music director of the Seattle Symphony, and they're going to be performing Firebird, Petrushka, and Rite of Spring in one giant Stravinsky palooza, I guess we can say. What do you tell your musicians, because they aren't accompanying dancers, what do you tell them to get them to play this music the way that you want it?
You know, I tell them the stories, but I think they know those stories already. So I also try to tell them what my take on those stories are. But there's also moments where there's still room for you to translate maybe to a more contemporary context what you think Stravinsky and everybody involved in those in the creation of those ballets wanted to kind of achieve to translate this to the audience in 1910, 11, and 13. And it's fascinating for me that, you know, we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of the first performance of Rite of Spring. I think it's time to actually enter into that new 100 years and find out what this music will mean to us in 100 years from now.
One of the things I always think about, and this gives me an opportunity to spend more time thinking about it, is what Paris was like at that time when Stravinsky arrived as a young man. The art scene, that was the center.
It was extraordinary. I mean, you think Picasso, you think Matisse and all those people. The list is long, and they would all meet in the evening and brainstorm together about what modernity would mean in art. And it was not just always only musicians together. And music somehow did catch up with all other forms of art, because so far music was far behind. We've always been, actually. We've always been the lazy ones. I heard that our ear is actually the more lazy of all our senses. So that's why music might be a little behind everything else.
Because we want to hear what we've heard before?
I think so. And maybe because it takes more time to actually translate into that kind of a language what the new vocabulary might be. I mean, you know, it might be easier to translate an emotional statement on a canvas instantly with emotion than actually really analyzing and finding one's voice to actually translate that emotion in music.
Stravinsky was in Paris writing these, but he was Russian. Is there something Russian about Firebird, Petrushka, and Rite of Spring?
Of course. And there's always been this great connection between France and Russia anyway. I mean, you think back to Tchaikovsky, French culture has always been very, very deep into the Russian lifestyle. Yes, I mean, the story for once, you know. I mean, the Petrushka is after all, the Russian version of Punch and Judy. Rite of Spring is obviously based on those pagan rituals. And then, of course, Firebird is the story of that glowing bird, you know, that is a Russian folk story. So yes, the essence of all of this is Russian, and actually the music itself also in the use of folk material from there, and then there's a very strong affinity to Russian culture, of course, Slavic culture.
It's interesting. Stravinsky had a long life and a long career. He wrote a lot of music, a lot of it for ballet, after he moved to the United States. Some people believe that he was a composer that maybe really hit his peak in 1913 with Rite of Spring. Do you agree with that?
Not quite. I mean, I think in part it is true because those are the ballets that we perform over and over again and we love so much. I think what I really recognize in Stravinsky that is outstanding is that he never rested on his laurels. He had found this beautiful collaboration. And then beyond that, he wanted to explore what would be next. And what would be next in his case would be neoclassicism, where he wrote also some jewels. And we don't really hear those as often as we should.
What is it about Stravinsky's music that appeals to you?
In the early stages, rhythm, I think, and folk elements. I always identify with music that has the energy of folk songs and rhythm. And Stravinsky combines this at perfection, really.
Dancers tell me that it's actually very hard to dance to Stravinsky because it's not a straightforward count. It's almost syncopated in some ways.
Folk music is actually not very square. And actually, when you try to transcribe folk rhythms, it's sometimes even so complex that you cannot notate it very well.
The orchestra is big.
It's huge, and it's an evening where actually we are having two intermissions because it's very taxing for the players. We even have more players than required for the three scores because I want them to be fresh for Rite of Spring at the end of the evening. So we actually even have a little bit of a rotation in within the orchestra for this. It is a project that you don't do every year, but I think it's interesting to be able in one evening to be exploring the head of such a genius, especially at the start of his production like this.
Seattle Symphony Music Director Ludovic Morlot, that's music from Rite of Spring, and I saw him conducted a couple years ago at Benaroya Hall, and it did rock the roof off the joint. You can see the orchestra's Stravinsky Palooza, three ballet scores by Igor Stravinsky, next week at Benaroya Hall in Seattle.